You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by Warp Zone Video Games and Beyond. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to another star-studded, action-packed episode of Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show where we talk about pop and geek news and stuff. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. Before we get into the news, as always, let's do some things we've been checking out.
Well, we watched Hardcore Henry last night, which, how old is that movie? Like
about a year.
But yeah.
Last year.
Maybe, yeah, it's been within the last year, sure.
So it's not exactly super current, but...
well, let's talk about it anyways.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was really cool. It's that movie that's all shot in first person the whole time.
Right, yeah.
I mean, the story was super well, it wasn't... I mean, it was pretty basic, but it had enough twists in it that kept it interesting. Like, I don't want to spoil it, but... There's a guy that keeps dying and coming back, and you don't know why. And the explanation for it is pretty solid.
Okay, cool. Cool.
And it knows what it is. It knows it's a stupid action movie with a dumb gimmick. Mm-hmm. And it plays to that really well.
Okay,
it's,
good.
It's not super serious at all or anything.
Not at all. There's a couple of parts where I'm just dying laughing.
Yeah.
Okay. It reminded me a lot, the trailer at least, because I haven't seen it yet, but the trailer reminded me a lot of the Crank movies.
I've never seen it.
It's just ridiculous, off the wall. Like it again. It knows what it is. It's an action, dumb action movie.
there's a lot of really cool parkour, which is extra cool because it's in first person. So you know, like it's a dude. Yeah, a dude was climbing stuff.
Yeah, that is cool. Is it a lot of flips and stuff?
No,
because that would be like a vomit.
Yeah, not like, flips. Inducing.
Okay, that's good.
A lot of running.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of first-person shooting. It looks very much like a video game.
Okay, cool.
The whole thing is very video gamey.
Because you're kind of on a quest, little bit.
Yeah, the one guy just gives him a phone at one point and says, you gotta get here. And, like, GPS is where he's supposed to go. Get here and kill a guy. And it's like, well, that's like a video game.
Yeah. Thanks, NPC quest giver.
That's basically what this guy is.
Yeah. Cough break.
There's just a part where he tries to ride a horse and can't.
Really?
And like the music swells to like kind of like a western, like, what song is it?
I don't know what that song is, but it's always used when horses are involved. It's like a dun, 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 dun.
Okay, yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, when he's trying to ride a horse and falls off.
Nice.
It's like he's like trying to grab the horse's like... It's a halter. That's what it's called. The thing that goes on its face where you can grab it, but it keeps trying to grab it.
Oh, the horse's face mask. Okay.
It's not a mask. It's called a halter. It's
Well, like... I know. I'm making a joke. I think it's a mask.
It's not.
The halter. It's like a top that just...
Stop.
And it ties in the back.
But it's just kind of grabbing at the horse's face. And the horse is like, no.
It's just like a wild horse in a field. Because he fall out of a helicopter?
Yeah.
Well, he's like a robot man.
Okay.
For one, like... He doesn't. He wakes up, and his wife gives him all these robot parts. So he's like kind of like a superhuman character.
Okay,
which explains why he can do all this running and jumping and good shooting. And there's a lot of like his eyes were replaced with cameras.
Okay,
and there's a lot of like effects that go on. Like when he falls down, like it'll some digital garbage will show up on the screen.
Okay, it just sounds like a big video game.
It is.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a fun movie.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine watching it on, like, IMAX or Ultra screen.
Oh, no, that would be...
It would just be Vomit City. But, yeah, I really liked it. It was fun. I would almost buy it.
I don't know about that.
You don't know about that? You didn't think it was that good?
It's all right.
I just like the Jimmy character that keeps coming back. I thought that was great.
It's, like, a bunch of different, like... versions.
Yeah, a bunch of different variations on this one character. Like he's just a regular mercenary guy. There's also one that's a hippie. There's one that's like a cokehead in a brothel, and it's all the same guy played by the same guy.
Okay, I've heard a little bit about this. Is this Sholto Copley, the guy
yeah.
who? Okay, yeah, the guy who was he was in District 9 and he was in the A-Team and that, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I'm explaining it for the listener.
But he almost carries the whole movie, I think, other than the awesome action scenes and stuff. Like, mm-hmm.
Like, Henry doesn't even talk.
Yeah, he can't talk. He
very much like a video game.
Yeah, yeah, he's a silent protagonist.
Protagonist.
He's a silent protagonist,
there,
like in a video game.
Cool.
Because the bad guy busted in before they could activate his voice module.
Gotcha. Okay.
And the bad guy's just like this Eastern European psychic guy. He can, like, telekinesis throw people around, which is pretty cool from first person to just have you lift up and, like, fly around the room. I don't know, it's worth checking out. Like, if the gimmick sounds interesting to you, you'll enjoy the movie.
Yeah, that does sound pretty cool.
Yeah, I've been plugging away at Final Fantasy III again. Longtime listeners will know I've been trying to play through all of the Final Fantasy games and write articles about each one.
It's been a while.
It's been probably a couple years.
Yeah.
I've been stuck on Final Fantasy III. And I finally started plugging away at it again. I'm like at the very last dungeon.
Okay, good.
Which is three dungeons that you can't leave. Well, you can leave, but you have to go all the way back through them to get out.
Okay.
And it's ridiculous and it's stupid.
Yeah, I remember you got close there at one point, and then you lost, like, your save file or something?
Yeah,
I had to
start all over again.
Yeah.
And it's not an easy game. It's really hard. It pulls a lot of really dumb stuff at you.
Really?
Like, having purposely to cast Toad on your entire party to turn them into frogs to get through a water place.
Huh.
Or having to cast Minnie on your entire party so they're tiny and can fit through holes. But now they can't do physical attacks.
Wow, that's very gimmicky.
Yeah, and it's just full of crap like that. Changing your entire party's job to Dragoon so you can jump to be able to beat a boss.
Wow.
It takes everything from Final Fantasy I and says, well, and jacks it up and says, well, now do it perfect. Now it's really hard. Do it again.
Yeah, I'm glad you're playing it, not me, because I would lose my patience with that almost immediately.
Yeah, and they took all the plot building and character-based stuff that's in 2, just threw that out.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's just like 1 over again, but hard.
Bummer.
It's not my favorite Final Fantasy, but it's going to feel so good when I finish
it. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I tell you, I love Final Fantasy. I haven't played a whole lot of them. I think I've beaten 6.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah, 6 is probably the best, and I've gotten very close to beat 7, but I think that's really about it.
7's my second favorite one, I think. Yeah. I would say. But I've actually only ever finished 1, 2, and 10.
Okay, wow.
Even though 6 is my favorite, I've never finished it.
Okay, 6, I love 6.
Yeah.
That's the Super Nintendo one.
Yeah, the one with Kefka and mm-hmm. the Espers. That's my favorite one. It's got all the characters in it are the best. The storyline is amazing.
Yeah, even Gogo. Gogo is my favorite character, and he's like the optional, like, you have to go in a special dungeon and find, like, this guy that can use all the moves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing about Final Fantasy III. There's the two last jobs you can get mm-hmm. are just incredibly overpowered.
Okay.
It's Ninja and Shaman, and Ninja is a physical damage guy that can just use all the weapons.
Oh, jeez.
And Shaman is a magic user that can just use all the magic.
Wow.
So you get to the end, and, you know, you're going to pick these, you have to be these two jobs.
Yeah.
Or you're not going to be able to, you won't survive.
Yeah, so you just roll straight through.
Yeah.
Wow.
So your party customization, it doesn't, at that point, it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
And that's kind of dumb.
That's a bummer. Oh, well, at least you're close to the end, right?
Yeah.
So.
Just spoil half of my article right here. But yeah, I can't wait to be done. I get to move on to 4, which is a very good one.
I've heard 4 is very good.
It's the first one that's most recognizable as a Final Fantasy game, I think.
Right.
The first 3 are very much Dragon Quest mm-hmm. clones.
Yeah.
And the 4 is the first one that's very Final Fantasy. Well, 2 isn't a Dragon Quest clone, but 2 is weird.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 2 is to Final Fantasy as Super Mario Brothers 2 is to Mario Brothers.
Okay, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Not in that they were different games, just that they're both
very different.
Very, yeah.
Or like Adventures of Link is to the original Zelda.
Yeah, exactly.
It
tries something different. And I also think Final Fantasy II gets a bad rap because of it, because I really liked it.
Okay, cool.
It's really weird, but I really liked it. Mm. Yeah, I've been watching The Tick. Well, I watched a little bit of it before I watched the Amazon pilot, just to, you know, refresh myself on The Tick, because I hadn't watched it since I was, like, a kid.
Yeah, we're talking about the animated series.
Yeah, Big Blue Tick.
Yeah.
The Tick, you know, the one.
Well, you have to differentiate, because there's the Patrick Warburton version,
yeah, that's
and then
right.
there's the animated.
I've never watched the Patrick Warburton Tick.
It's good, and a lot of the side characters are close. They couldn't use the names of the characters from the cartoon, so you, instead of Deflatormouse, you get Batmanuel.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. And instead of American Maid, it's like Miss Liberty or something like that. It's very close, but it's not quite.
Why couldn't they use the...
Because those characters were created solely for the cartoon.
Huh.
And I guess the production house or whatever couldn't...
Like Sunbow or whatever?
Yeah, couldn't clear the rights to the characters. Huh. Yeah.
Well, that sucks, because I love the side characters in the
They're
anime.
The best part. Yeah.
The sewer urchin who's like Rain Man that lives in the sewer.
Mm-hmm.
Deflatormouse, which is Batman, but he's the deadbeat that doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And American Maid is like the only competent one that there is. She's just like Wonder Woman, but with a maid motif.
And throws her shoes.
Yeah, throws her heels at people.
Yeah. Oh,
the civic minded five. With the four legged man, who is a man with four legs, and on his chest it just says four legs. Yeah.
And what was the guy that has the carpet suit?
Yeah, I forget what he's like, just like Carpet Man or something
like that. Yeah.
Yeah, he just has a big suit of shag carpet, and he static shocks people.
It's a minor inconvenience.
Yeah. And he always gets too hot
because
he's in a carpet suit, passes out. It's such a great show. Like, well, some episodes are a lot better than others. There's some of them that just kind of nothing really that funny happens, to be completely honest. But it's a kid's show.
Yeah.
So they're not all going to be, you know, not all of them are A-game, but the ones that hit, like, super hit hard.
Really hit hard.
Like, Dinosaur Neil.
I was just going to say Dinosaur Neil is one of my favorite.
Yeah. Dinosaur... Which has a lot of vore overtones.
A lot, yeah. Yeah, a bit of that. Dinosaur Neil's a good one. I like the one where Arthur quits and Tick kind of goes nuts and creates his own sidekick, Little Wooden Boy.
I have not seen that
one. Oh, man, yeah. Well, if you remember the show Ed, Edd n Eddy, where the one kid had the plank.
Yeah.
It's the plank, but he's the Tick, like, glued arms and legs. And he just, the whole episode is just the Tick screaming about Little Wooden Boy. And that's great.
The one where the Tick gets sick and they have a neighbor in their apartment that's an alien.
Oh, Thrakazog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's just got like this regular roommate that just does like whatever. Like,
yeah. That's the one where they make the mucus Tick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah. I remember the toys, and the mucus Tick was like the variant, like the rare variant of the tick. It was a clear green Tick action figure.
And the Mad Bomber What Bombs at Midnight? Or the Midnight Bomber What Bombs at Midnight?
Yes, the Midnight Bomber What Bombs at Midnight. Yeah, good stuff.
It's a classic.
Yeah, baby, yeah, yeah. Kaboom! Yeah! Midnight Bomber What Bombs at Midnight! Yeah, I love it.
It's proto-Venture Brothers is what this show is. Which there's parallels with the writers and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Jackson Publick or whatever is that Chris McCullough?
Yeah, Chris McCullough.
Was a writer on it. And then Ben Edlund has written a couple episodes of Venture Brothers. So there's a lot of cross. Yeah.
Yeah. It's proto Venture Brothers. If you like the Venture Brothers, you're going to like the
it's
Tick.
It's like if you turn the Venture Brothers down like half a step and make it a little more for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and I love the Bullet guy.
Oh, the Bullet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Human Bullet or whatever
Yeah,
it is.
Human Bullet, whenever there's something going on.
Fire Me Boy!
Fire Me Boy and his son.
Yeah.
Whose name is Fire Me Boy.
Yeah, that's the psychic name, is Fire Me Boy.
Yeah. We'll launch him out of a cannon. And then he never helps. Like,
never
hits. It either does nothing or makes things worse every time he shows up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep. Oh, God. Good stuff.
But and also definitely watch Amazon Tick because it's the best.
It is really good.
It's the best of the three pilots.
Peter Serafinowicz really nails the cartoon Tick.
Yeah.
voice and acting and everything.
They pulled a bunch of stuff straight out of the Cartoon Tix show, too.
Where he's going through Arthur's apartment.
Yeah,
and pulling...
trying to find the secret lever.
Yeah. Well, that's from the comic. That's originally from the comic. So that's something that has persisted amongst every iteration of the Tick. I even think that's in the Patrick Warburton version, like in the pilot.
Nice.
That's something that's always in it.
There's even a shot of Arthur's alarm clock going off at 6:30, like in the opening of every cartoon episode.
Mm-hmm. I love the intro music. The weird scat jazz kind of.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, very, very cool.
Vote for the Tick on Amazon. I think it's doing the best, actually.
I think it is. I hope it's doing the best.
When I looked at it has more reviews than the other ones do. Yeah. So I don't know what metric Amazon is going by, but
yeah, I hope it wins. Although if Jean-Claude Van Johnson wins, I wouldn't be mad.
I didn't watch that. I only watched the Tick.
It's stupid. It's just the dumbest. It's Jean-Claude Van Damme pretending to be just a normal non-action star guy trying to live his life. But then action star things happen to him.
That's a good concept.
It's a good concept. And he's very, Jean-Claude Van Damme has great, I wouldn't say great comedic timing, but he has very serviceable comedic timing coupled by the fact that he's just not a very good actor. It makes the situations very weird.
They never said how many shows they were going to pick, so hopefully they'll pick up Tick and that, and then the other one that nobody cares about.
I don't even know what the third one is.
I think it's called I Love Dick. Is that what it's called?
I think so.
I'm glad there's recorded audio of me saying that now.
Yeah, but I'm not going to isolate that and use that later on, ever.
At the beginning and end of every episode.
Yeah.
No, that's what it's called, and it looks like it sucks.
Yeah.
All the reviews that, because I looked at all three pages, they had, all the reviews were like, this is not good.
Yeah.
So they're not going to pick that show up.
Yeah, definitely not.
There's a little survey they have you do too, and I did that. I'm like, pick up the Tick.
Yeah, I need to do that, get on that, but yeah. Well, I can go ahead and do my check it outs real quick, I guess. The first thing, it's a shame Josh isn't here because we would have had this as a check it out. And he'll probably bring it up next week when he's back. So we're all fans of YouTubers and stuff here, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I watch YouTube every day.
I do too. I actually watch it more than Netflix and stuff like that, for sure.
We're millennials and we watch YouTube instead of television.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the content's really good. It speaks to us a little
more. And it's free. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a I'm going way deep on this to explain it to the listeners. There is a genre of YouTube show called Let's Plays, and it's basically Mystery Science Theater, but they're also playing video games.
Yeah, instead of watching a movie.
Yeah, so they can comment more directly on what is happening within the game, and a lot of times they're comedy. The best ones are comedy shows.
Yeah, we've done a couple too.
We've done a couple, and we're planning on doing a few more. I'd like to, at least.
Yeah,
but it's become kind of a big, huge phenomena, and there are some names that are very recognizable that have almost broken to like mainstream, like that PewDiePie guy.
Which I don't think anybody here cares for PewDiePie.
Don't care for PewDiePie. But there are a few.
The kid, he's real popular with the younger kids, which is unfortunate.
It's just a lot of screaming.
Yeah.
In his case, but there's one of the more major ones is a channel called Game Grumps, and it's two guys, Aaron Hansen and Dan Avidan, or Danny Sexbang, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever.
If you want to go by his online ninja sex party,
his nom de plume.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really funny. The shows last about 10-15 minutes and. They're funny.
Yeah.
It's more of a comedy show than it is a video game show. I think that's what I like about it.
And they're not always talking about what's going on in the game even. They're just kind of like...
They're just having a conversation.
Yeah. They're two funny, interesting guys, so...
A lot of improv.
Yeah, it's fun to sit in on their conversation.
And you know what? Their shows are very easy. They're easy to watch. You can put them on in the background and just kind of...
Yeah.
Go do something else. And I like that a lot. Anyway, I'm telling you all this... To get to this point, at one point in one of their episodes, Aaron got on this kick where he was trying to get a Wendy's deal, like a Wendy's sponsorship or whatever, and went on about it for a long time and went on Twitter and tried it and all this stuff. and
Dude Loves Wendy's.
Dude Loves Wendy's. Yeah. And so about a week ago, he put out a tweet just kind of cryptically saying, "Hey, Columbus, Ohio, who's hungry?" And we all kind of went, "What? What?
Huh?
What's going on?" So a few hours later, their official Twitter account tweeted these coordinates. No anything, just coordinates. Just coordinates. Turns out it was a Wendy's on Morse Road. And later said, you know, just another tweet that just said 7 p.m. That's it. And so Josh and I motored out there to see what was going on. And there were about 500 people there waiting in this this grassy area outside of a Wendy's. And sure enough, Aaron from Game Grumps just showed up and started taking selfies and signing stuff. And they were giving away What's the Beef T-shirts. And it was very cool. It was very cool to see so many people just kind of show up all at once with like less than like 8 hours of notice. It was almost like a convention, almost kind of. It was crazy.
A mini surprise Game Grumps convention.
Yeah, yeah. And Josh and I ended up not meeting him because we kind of screwed up. The whole thing started as one giant amorphous blob of people around this guy. And eventually it was all kind of put into like a loose line. Unfortunately, we ended up at the back of the line.
Oh.
And about an hour and a half of waiting and the line not really moving, we kind of went, you know what? Let's go actually eat some Wendy's. And if the line is still here when we're done, we'll get back in the back of the line. It's not like we're going to lose our place because we were already at the end of the line. So we get all the way. We go in, we eat. And by the time we get done eating, they've picked up the pace. I think a lot of people left, and
I think he stopped signing at one point and just started taking selfies.
Yeah. And they were group selfies. They weren't like one on one. Yeah. Anyway, we were getting ready to leave. We saw that the line was gone. We were getting ready to leave. And all of a sudden Aaron walks in the door, like right in front of us, and starts saying, "Hey, you know, I swear to God, this isn't a branded deal. I'm not getting money for this. I swear. Always fresh, never frozen. Am I right? See you later." and then just shuffles out the door. And no, it was great. And they were taking video, and I guarantee Josh and I are in the background of at least a couple shots.
Nice.
If they decide to edit it in. We are. The camera was pointed right at us.
So you're going to be on Grump Out channel.
We are. So be sure. I will make sure everybody knows that's coming. But yeah, that was pretty cool. It was just cool to see so many people, and they weren't little kids. It was a nice mix of kids and teens and older, you know, our age.
Yeah.
It was very cool. I guess Chris Bidwell.
Oh, friend of the show,
Chris Bidwell was out there, and from what I understand, like Aaron recognized him and everything because they were both in the Nintendo World Championship, and I guess kind of had a little mini freak out there with that. So that was pretty cool.
That's super cool that he recognized him.
Yeah, that is really, really, really cool.
It says a lot about whether or not Aaron is a cool guy.
Yeah. Also, every video, like actual video that they put up where you see Aaron and he's wearing the t-shirt and the sweatpants and stuff, that's not an act. That's what he was wearing at the thing. A black t-shirt, the bottom half of a Kigurumi, like the bear costume kind of thing, and sandals. Just walking around this field outside of a Wendy's in downtown Columbus. Yeah, it was pretty great. It was a good time, even though we didn't get to meet him.
I wish
cool.
I could have went.
Yeah.
But I had to work.
Yeah, yeah.
I got out of work that night at 7 o'clock, like when the thing started.
Yeah. No, it was nuts. I really don't know what else to say about it. It was just kind of a neat thing to go down to on a whim and just kind of, yeah.
I'm assuming he had a layover in Columbus.
The theory actually is that he was at the headquarters, the Wendy's headquarters in Dublin, because it was only about 20, that would have been only about a 20 minute drive. And I don't know if they were filming stuff as a joke or actually talking to someone in charge of Wendy's, but
I heard he bought burgers for like hundreds of burgers.
He bought hundreds of burgers. He bought hundreds of Frosties. I felt kind of bad for the people working at the Wendy's because they said that they were given about a 3 hour.
Oh no.
someone told them, yeah, gave them a heads up about 3 hours earlier,
And at least two of the workers there said, told us, because I was trying to talk to some of them, and they said, yeah, this isn't even my Wendy's. They were calling people in from other Wendy's in the area to come in and help.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was nuts. I tell you what, that store made bank
that night.
Because everybody who was there went in and got a burger or whatever. So it was just really cool.
I got to work extra hours at Wendy's because some YouTube dude is here.
some B-list celebrity decided to show up outside of my store. But they were all in a good mood, though. So they were like, oh, yeah, this is great. This is cool. But yeah, we're putting in our hours for sure. So, all right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here. And when we come back, we'll get in some news.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by Warp Zone Video Games and Beyond. Warp Zone is the place for all your gaming needs, like modern, vintage, and import video games, as well as gaming collectibles. Warp Zone Video Games and Beyond is located at 4496 Cemetery Road in Hilliard, 614-219-1997, and Warp Zone on Facebook.
That was Truck by Prince from the original 1988 Batman.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the show. All right. Yeah, we played that because it's Batman Day, apparently.
Apparently, that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's a totally legit holiday that DC Comics made up about 3 years ago to celebrate the anniversary of Bob Kane and, well, really, Bill Finger creating Batman. So, hooray.
Yeah, go out there and do some Batmaning.
Yeah, go like avenge your parents' deaths. I don't know.
It's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing, I guess.
Even though in nerd culture it feels like every day is Batman Day.
Every day. This if you're living your life right, every day is Batman Day.
Live your life like every day is Batman Day.
Now I'm just trying to figure out how to work that live like you were dying song.
Yeah, live like you were Batman.
Live like you were Batman. Yeah, I love it. Oh, man. All right. So we actually have a little bit of Batman-ish news, although when we were pulling news, we had no idea it was Batman Day. This is all totally like coincidental. But new pictures of the Batman suit for Zack Snyder's Justice League movie were released over Twitter. And in keeping with most of the things with the Zack Snyder's DC output, it's not real good.
If you're making a Batman suit, it's not good.
I mean, yeah, it's not. It does look like Batman, at least for the most part. But the mask area is very reminiscent to the character Night Owl from the movie The Watchmen, which was another Zack Snyder production. In particular, the bat ears. You know, I like the short bat ears. I think long floppy bat ears are kind of stupid.
Yeah.
And very hindrance, you know, they hinder
things.
They don't make sense. Although there was one comic where Batman explained that there are tiny antennas inside the ears that help connect him to like the bat network or whatever. That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But the ears are like almost totally to the back, like slanted and like cockeyed on the side of the head. So they look more like little puppy dog ears.
Mad cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, a cat that's mad.
Yeah. So that's weird. And he also has...
he had them designed by video game peripheral maker Mad Cats.
That's it. Yes. Nailed it. Nailed it. Perfect. But they also... The mask also sports goggles. Why?
Yeah, that which is not a thing.
Yeah. So it looks a lot like Night Owl from...
Like steampunk Batman?
Yeah, kind of.
Gotham by Gaslight?
Well, you know, he's really... Zack Snyder loves that look of steampunk Batman. I mean, think about the Batsby Soups movie they had the duster. And he had goggles on that one,
that was
too.
So stupid.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's not...
Post-apocalypse Gotham.
Yeah.
I heard that they're not going to do dream sequences in Justice League. They said don't do that.
Good.
Because it's stupid.
It's dumb, and they shouldn't have done it in Batman v Superman. It's
stupid and confusing.
Yeah.
And it's a waste of time, because it didn't reveal anything about the character.
It takes you completely out of the film.
It didn't do anything except look cool.
Yeah.
And it didn't even look... It looks stupid.
Well, that's why Zack Snyder put it in. Yeah. It's because it looks cool. I want to show Batman, like, shooting people with guns.
It didn't move the plot along. It didn't reveal anything about the character, their motivations or personalities. It was just there.
Yeah.
It's like the whole movie.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you got a point there.
It's just there.
Yeah. Well, along with the new Batman garbage suit, there are reports that the Joker will officially not be appearing in the Justice League movie. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have bigger things to deal with than the Joker.
Well, they're going to try really, really hard to introduce Darkseid and Apocalypse and giant world-destroying space aliens to rival the Marvel, where Marvel's heading. So they have much bigger fish to fry, because Darkseid and the anti-life equation and all of that that entails is way harder to explain, especially when you have barely set up the universe in which your main protagonist characters live in.
Half the characters haven't even been explained.
Yeah, exactly. They have much bigger fish to fry. I don't know how they're going to pull this off.
Also, they probably have no idea what to do with the Joker after the debacle that was Suicide Squad.
That too, yeah. I mean, even if they wanted the Joker, I doubt Jared Leto would come back.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's pretty ticked about how much got cut from the movie. And also, I don't think they want him back because he's terrible.
Because he's terrible and his character was terrible.
His laugh sounds like Squidward.
I was going to say, did you see that video where they overlaid it on Squidward's
laugh? Oh, yeah, yeah, it does sound a lot like that.
It does, it sounds exactly like Squidward.
I still like my Joker laugh from that one scene. So, yeah, I'm glad he's not going to be in it. I hope they figure something out, or they just drop the character, you know.
Yeah.
We've seen enough Joker. There's always going to be Joker somewhere. Explain that it's a poser Joker. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. I mean, they've done that before. There's three Jokers in the comics
DC
right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't been following Batman, so I can't explain that at this point, but yeah. Yeah. It just, whatever. It's sad that that's the opinion that I have for the Justice League movie, because I love DC Comics. I love Justice League, but it's like, whatever. Just
do it.
Just do what you want. I'm not going to like it, whatever you do. So
I mean, it looks like they're trying to fix it at least.
Well, they're running into the same problem that they did with Batman v Superman. With Man of Steel, they made a lot of problems. And they tried to correct a lot of those problems with Superman in Bats v Supes. But in doing so, they created the exact amount of problems, a lot of times the exact same problems, with Batman that they were trying to fix with Superman. So now they're going to be trying to fix Batman with Justice League. So it makes me wonder, which character are they going to ruin? Probably Aquaman in the Justice League movie, which will then have to be corrected in their next movie.
No, it will mess up Wonder Woman in her movie.
Yeah, from what I've heard.
Of all the movies, all the superhero movies that are coming out, Marvel, DC, both, that is the one I want most to not suck.
Yes, I agree.
I'm most scared for it.
Yeah,
yeah.
And unfortunately,
it's going to suck.
It's going to be bad.
Well, you're going to have a Wonder Woman movie that is going to be more about Steve Trevor. I just have a feeling. Because a lot of the shots, yeah, a lot of the action scenes are of Wonder Woman, but any of the development with any of the characters in the trailers, it's all Steve Trevor. It's all Chris Pine. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to, I know what they're probably going to try to do. They're going to try to make Steve Trevor like the audience surrogate.
Insert, yeah.
And there's a way to do that correctly and still have the movie be primarily Wonder Woman and be about powerful women and all this stuff. They're not going to do that. They're going to make it like, oh, look at wacky Steve Trevor and what's going on. He can't figure out what's happening with this crazy Amazon lady. Eh. It bothers
me. I mean, the trailer's good, but so was Suicide Squad.
Yeah. So was Batman v Superman. That last trailer.
Yeah, that last trailer
looked really good. Yeah. What we've learned, what I think we could take away from this is Warner Brothers and Zack Snyder in particular, they know how to cut a trailer.
They cut a trailer good enough so everybody goes to see it on the week it comes out, and then
make their money.
And nobody goes after that first week.
Exactly. But hey, they make their money back. So
yeah.
what's the problem? I guess. Yeah, I'm worried for Wonder Woman. That's why I really hope Marvel hits with Captain Marvel.
Yeah. If anybody's gonna do it right, it's gonna be them.
And so far, they haven't struck out yet. And Brie Larson's a good choice for the character. So
it's too bad the movie doesn't come out till 2000 a million.
Yeah, yeah, DC is going to beat Wonder Woman to the punch on this one, but if they it would be kind of funny. You know, it'd be kind of funny if they rush production a little bit on Captain Marvel and get Wonder Woman and Captain Marvel released within the same like couple week swing to put the pit them against each other just to see what would happen. Yeah. That would be ultimate. Well, what would happen is Marvel would push up their date and then DC would totally unrelated to anything decide, you know, maybe Wonder Woman needs a couple extra reshoots.
Yeah.
And we're going to push it back a month.
If they put the two up against each other, I think Wonder Woman would do better on name recognition alone.
I think Wonder Woman would do better on the first weekend, but I think overall, I think Captain Marvel would make more money.
Yeah, it would have this. Well, it'd have staying power because it's good.
Because it's good and because it's Marvel.
Yeah.
And yeah. Actually, you know what? I would think that they would both have very similar opening weekends. Wonder Woman would win, but I think they'd have similar because in that case, you would have fans pull double duty. Pull, yeah. You know, go
see
both.
One and then go see the other right mm-hmm. afterwards.
Yeah.
That's probably what I would do.
What I would do too. Absolutely. But yeah, I don't know. Oh, and speaking of, if we're talking still about DC live action movies and strong female characters, Margot Robbie signed a deal where she is going to star and executive produce a Harley Quinn spinoff movie. And I hope they use that to fix some of the issues that I had with the character in Suicide Squad.
She seemed to understand the character. She was like kind of mad about like what they were having her do because she could not understand, like, you know, she was this strong. Why should we be doing this?
Yeah, yeah. Margot Robbie, yeah, exactly right. She seemed like she knew what the character should have been, and that was a good performance, hindered by poor script and studio meddling. And I think if Robbie had a little more control.
Which
she will
producing,
I think, and they'd have to do some very specific things to turn the character around. Don't have Joker in it.
Yeah. Oh, don't. No.
Just cut that section out completely.
Read a bunch of the Jimmy Palmiotti, Amanda Connor, Harley Quinn books, and
yes.
Yeah, do that.
Do just do that. Just do that comic. I joked a little earlier about a Thelma Louise style road movie starring Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy.
That would be
and
amazing.
That would be perfect. Yeah. That would be the way to do it. Do a Gotham City Sirens movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw, we don't have it on the list, but I saw, what's her name? Princess Diaries.
Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway is interested in reprising her role as Catwoman at some point. I thought she was okay.
I didn't see it.
That's yeah. True. I just didn't like the costume.
Well, yeah, the costume's not great, but
it was really boring. It's yeah. Just like I put some cat ears on.
Yeah, well, that
Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman is much better.
Well, sure, of course, but
Michelle
that costume,
Pfeiffer.
Yeah, that movie, Dark Knight Rises, took things too realistic, I think. I think that was its main problem. But Anne Hathaway's Catwoman was probably one of the best parts of that movie. And I think putting Anne Hathaway as Catwoman, Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, and...
somebody.
you know what? Sally Draper. What's her name?
Oh.
January Jones.
No. That's I'm thinking the wrong person.
Alison Brie. No.
No.
We're just naming people on it Mad Men. Christina Hendricks,
that's it. Yeah.
Yes, put her in the movie.
All three of those as and make it a heist road movie with those three characters. Done.
Yeah.
$1 million idea. Warner Brothers, come to me and buy my script and then rewrite it completely to make it about the Joker and Batman.
I really like the idea of Christina Hendricks as Poison Ivy.
I kind of really do too. Yeah. So, but anyway, yeah, I'm cautiously, well, there's nothing about the Harley Quinn movie other than the fact that they're making a Harley Quinn movie, and it seems like they'll have a little more freedom to do what they yeah. want with it. So that gives me a little bit of hope.
Margot Robbie producing sounds good.
It sounds like a good idea on paper.
She seems like a smart lady that knows what's going on.
I hope so. Yeah.
I feel kind of bad because she always gets, she doesn't get roles that are meaty enough for it. It's always like take your clothes off.
Yeah,
because Because she's a very pretty lady.
Yeah, she's a, well, really, yeah. Well, yeah, she's yeah, a she very, very pretty lady. Pretty.
But yeah, if she were given roles where she would have a little more agency, that would probably be good. Then again, there was that movie where she starred opposite Will Smith, the other Margot Robbie Will Smith movie. I guess she was really good in.
I forget what it's called.
I forget what it's called too. It doesn't matter. But I heard it's really good. So I don't know. I don't know.
I saw there was a somewhere that, like, out of the 8 movies she's been in, she's had to take her clothes off in like 5 or something ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But yeah.
You give the people what they want.
I guess. Yeah. Hey, let's talk about Pokemon.
We always do.
Yeah.
But we it's been a glut of Pokemon news lately.
It
it's
has.
Just constant.
Yeah, and you're going to have to take lead on this because I'm going to be honest with you. I'm still excited for Sun and Moon. I'm still excited for Go.
Whatever new
whatever.
Comes to Go.
Yeah. I'm starting to hit that saturation point where I just kind of like...
Just give me the game already.
Just give me the game. I just want to just be done with the news. But what's new? What's new with Pokemon?
Well, Buddy Pokemon finally came to Pokemon Go.
Yes.
Which is a feature where you can pick a Pokemon as kind of like a favorite that mm-hmm. shows up next to your guy on the profile page.
Mm-hmm.
And when you walk... it'll generate candy every so many kilometers, depending on what Pokemon it is.
It's depending on how many kilometers that Pokemon's egg is.
Ah.
So, yeah. It's cool. I tried it, and I did generate my one candy for walking 5 kilometers the other day. to evolve my character, I would have to walk about 100 kilometers with the app open.
Which
so
is ridiculous.
That's never going to happen. I mean, it might. I mean, I guess I could take an entire month and
yeah.
walk well, I mean, every day, I guess.
I mean, if you catch more of it, it substitutes the...
It does a little bit.
I mean,
but it's... I don't know.
It could use a little bit of rebalancing because I understand them not wanting to just hand out the candy. That's not...
Well, sure, but along the same lines, you want to make it at least doable.
Yeah.
Like, there are people who are walking with Magikarps, and you have to walk, like, 400 kilometers.
Yeah, because it's 1 kilometer per candy for Magikarp.
Yeah, that's
boy,
insane.
I wish they would put it in the not metric. What is our measurement
system?
Yeah, it's a dumb name.
It is.
I wish it wasn't in metric, so I could have better gauge the distances, because I'm a dumb American that doesn't know the metric system.
But no, I tried it. It's fun. I'm back in a little bit.
Yeah,
I've
been peeking into the game a little bit more.
Yeah.
I'm really stuck on level 14 because I've caught all the Pokemon that are around here easily.
I'm at 15 and I think I have 1 Pokeball left and I'm not giving them any more of my money.
Oh no, I'm done
spending on that. That was, yeah.
The best thing to do when you're out of Pokeballs is just, you know, when you go to a place with a stop, get some and then just don't do anything else for a while and they'll pile up.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I need to do.
eat dinner at Rosa and Rocco's and spend the Poke stop that's at the Anytime Fitness next door.
Yeah. Yeah. So, moving off of that, what kind of Sun and Moon stuff is there?
Did we talk about the Aether Foundation?
No,
there's
we haven't.
Some sort of scientific foundation in the world of Sun and Moon that, what do? They supposedly heal Pokemon and they're kind of like,
but they're going to be the bad guys.
We don't know that for sure,
but
it seems that way.
I heard someone compare them to InGen from Jurassic Park, where they seem like they're on the up and up.
Yeah.
And yet there are some shady,
that's probably
shady
what
stuff going on in the background where they revealed the bad guy team, Team Skull, way too early. I have a feeling
and
that they're like the red herring.
They seem
team.
So generically goofy bad that
that I bet the Aether Foundation is like the actual bad guys.
Yeah.
So, and they've been really cagey with like the character designs and stuff like that, or the character descriptions rather.
Yeah.
So,
and they've revealed these ultra beasts that aren't quite Pokemon.
They're not Pokemon. They're something. They look like bugs.
And they're very humanoid.
They are. Yeah.
They
almost look like Digimon.
Yeah. I'm guessing that they are human Pokemon hybrids that the Aether Foundation is making. That's my plot guess.
Yeah, it seems very much that way, especially if you look at some of the Aether Foundation like head people and then look at the Ultra Beasts, they kind of match up.
Yeah, the one blonde skinny lady looks exactly like that cockroach looking Ultra Beast.
Yeah.
Professor, whatever the professor's name is, I can't remember. Professor Surf Dad. his assistant looks exactly like that jellyfish one.
Yeah.
So there's something weird going on with human DNA and Pokemon DNA, I'm guessing.
And that's an interesting take.
Yeah, I would have never guessed that's the direction they would go story-wise.
Yeah.
Kind of makes me actually interested in the story in this one, which has been something that has not been interesting in Pokemon since, like, ever.
Yeah.
Well, X and Y's story was hot garbage.
It was bad.
I hated it.
It was bad.
Like, why is there a giant man? Why is he big? I don't know. Nobody knows.
Why Team Flare is the worst. Is the worst team.
They just want to make everything fabulous.
Well, their whole deal is we want to kill everyone on Earth that's not super stylish and pretty. But it's a team where if you buy the right clothes, you can be on their team. Yeah. You can be considered stylish and pretty. So it is solely a like monetary kind of...
Yeah,
you can buy your way into Team Flare.
Classist.
Also, their leader looks like Leomon from Digimon, like to a T.
That story was so bad.
It was not great.
It was a big battle, Pokemon battle in the past, and something with a dead Flabébé.
Who knows?
It was stupid.
It was bad news.
And when you don't expect a lot out of a Pokemon story to begin with,
yeah.
To have it be bad is just a crime.
Yeah. I mean,
especially after what was the one Black and White before, it was actually pretty good.
Yeah, that's the one with Team Plasma, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Although it was
bad.
Kind of had
a PETA thing, but they were bad. And like that was a pretty good idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was an interesting concept.
Well, even Ruby and Sapphire, which was the most recent remake, their story was pretty good. I mean, their teams had like the dumbest idea.
Oh yeah, everything should be ground. Everything should be water.
We need to wake up these things to totally change the Earth. Oh no, they're totally changing the Earth. Help me. That was the entirety of their plot.
We didn't think this through.
We made a huge mistake.
But still, that is more in the kind of Pokemon wheelhouse than something ridiculous
like
that.
That's true. That's true. Did you ever hear the theory that Team Rocket were good guys? Or at least Giovanni was a good guy. That the whole deal was Giovanni was a scientist that helped create Mewtwo and knew that it was a problem. So he stole the Sith scope so he can catch a ghost because psychics, in theory, in that game were weak to ghosts. He was trying to get the Master Ball so he can contain Mewtwo. Like he was doing all this shady stuff to try to fix the mistake he made. So he was ultimately kind of a good guy.
It sounds plausible.
Yeah. Plus, he was a gym leader, which are like mayors of towns.
Yeah.
And not to say that there aren't corrupt mayors, but like you have to be at least kind of a good guy, at least at one point, to be recognized as a gym leader. Yeah. So,
I mean, he obviously was still part of the whatever that organization is because his gym badge is still good.
Yeah. So, yeah.
There's also been rumors that he's Ash's dad, but I don't think that.
I don't agree with that.
I don't put any. Yeah.
If anything, I think that guy that tells you hints about the gym at the beginning of each gym is secretly Ash's deadbeat dad.
Cheering him along.
Yeah.
If he was a phone, it would just be Earthbound.
It would, yeah.
There's so many similarities between Pokemon and Earthbound, though.
Oh,
we don't
need
to get into
that.
Yeah,
we don't need to. But...
Same company, too.
Yep.
Well, not partly.
Yeah.
Was there anything else Pokemon? I think that's pretty much it.
I'm sure there's plenty more stuff Pokemon, but
That's the
main stuff. Did you see that one that's like type null?
Oh yeah, that's a weird one.
It's like it is a man-made legendary Pokemon hunter. Like it was created to hunt down legendaries.
Huh.
And it has like body parts from different like things and this weird axe helmet. Helps control it or something.
It's really weird and kind of like Full Metal Alchemist-y.
It doesn't look like... That's the thing. That's the thing with this game. A lot of this stuff doesn't look like Pokemon.
They're definitely like trying new stuff, which is cool.
Yeah.
Because it's been how many years and they've done very little different.
Yeah. Also, I really, really like Surfer Professor Oak.
Yeah. There's a... It's not really the Alolan form of Professor Oak.
That's what they've been calling him. That's why I like to call him.
He's Professor Oak's cousin, and he studies these alternate forms of the original classic Pokemon.
And he just looks like Professor Oak with long hair and a tan and Hawaiian shirt. Yeah. It's great. I love it.
Has there been any Alolan Pokemon that weren't from the first gen?
Nope. Huh. Not yet.
I wonder why that is. They're just doing first gen.
I don't know, but I think that's why the first gen digital releases. Remember way back when they said that you could transfer from your first game to this one? I think that's the only way you can get the standard version of a lot of the Alolan form into your game. I think that's probably what it's going
to
be.
Which reminds me, I need to play more of Pokemon Yellow.
Yeah, I need to finish that game too.
In continued video game news, I guess a long, long time ago, back in the bygone years of 1997.
Yeah.
Blizzard announced they were doing a...
God, that's almost 20 years ago.
Wow. A Warcraft point-and-click adventure game.
Right.
A Monkey Island style thing.
Yeah.
But it was in the Warcraft universe, and, you know, it was animated. They actually hired the same company that did those awful Zelda animations.
Oh, yeah.
And, like... the CDI Zelda games.
Yeah.
Like the company's Animation Magic.
Was it the Sword of Gamelon or whatever?
What was the first one?
It was... they were garbage.
There was Wand of Gamelon. I think that was the one where you play as Zelda.
Yeah, that's it.
I forget what the first one is with Link, but they're awful. The games are awful. The animation is awful. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the Warcraft point and click, which... Animation Magic had obviously gotten a lot better since then, because the animation in this game looked a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really interesting looking thing at the time, and unfortunately, like a year or so after they announced it, right up before E3 that year, Blizzard's like, we canceled it. You know, it wasn't up to their standards, which admittedly, Blizzard's standards are very, very high.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They've never really made a bad game.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is it leaked onto the internet a couple days ago.
Hmm.
In its entirety, you can play through the whole thing because it was basically done.
Oh, wow.
I've played it. It's pretty neat. Some of the cutscenes, the voice acting doesn't match up with the animation because it's, not
get
done.
Final pass. Yeah. So.
But it's a point-and-click adventure game. It's very much in that realm. The puzzles are not bad. The animation is pretty good. The voice acting is excellent. There's Clancy Brown.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Peter Cullen. He's the guy that does Optimus Prime, right?
Yeah.
He's like some big orc dude.
Oh, wow.
The story's kind of interesting. It's about Thrall, who's a big Warcraft character in the lore. I don't know. I don't know a lot about the lore of Warcraft, but... it was actually, the story of this game was actually made into a book after the game got canceled.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So they kept the story around. It's still part of Warcraft canon.
Interesting. Well, very cool.
But it's really neat to be able to see this game that I'd only read about in magazines
back in the 90s. Kind of like a weird artifact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any idea how it got leaked?
Somebody from the Russian animation team leaked it out onto the internet.
Oh.
Because there's a lot of Russian documents along with it. But it's cool. I mean, I think Blizzard's taken it down from most places where it's at, but you can still find it on the internet.
Oh, once something ends up on the internet, you can
never get
rid of it. They're never going to contain it. Yeah, that'll never happen. But no, that's really cool. That's really interesting. I love hearing about kind of the weird stuff that almost happened but didn't.
But didn't.
Yeah.
It's weird because I remember reading about the game back in... Mm-hmm. Like PC gamer back in the 90s and thinking that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because I love point and click adventure games, but I can see why they canceled it though, because it was right around the time that adventure games kind of died out for a while.
Right, yeah.
LucasArts had announced Grim Fandango, and that looks leaps and bounds better than this 2D animated game did. The puzzles aren't really, like, they're not mind blowing, they're pretty generic. which is fine, because sometimes that's just fun to go through and, you know, solve just your average adventure game puzzles. But even like Monkey Island 3, which is the 2D animated Monkey Island, that looks a whole lot better than this Warcraft game does. And that came out, you know, before that was done. So it was going to look dated right off the bat.
Gotcha.
So I can understand why they canceled it, but it's still a really neat game.
Yeah. Well, cool. I'm glad it got released. That's kind of neat. So, hey, it looks like we're just about at time, so let's go ahead and wrap it up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you all for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com. This is the point where Josh would say we're also on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverloadradio.
Splicing audio of him saying.
I could do that, yeah.
You could email us with any questions, concerns, or comments at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can tweet at us at @nerd_overload or subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV, which has a bunch of podcast episodes on it now.
Yes, I've been very busy. That's why I didn't have much of a check it out this week. I've been very busy getting the YouTube channel updated with the last 12 or 13 episodes of the show. And we're going to be doing more videos soon.
It's an easy place where you can share them with your friends.
Absolutely.
You know, if you don't want to use the other 50 ways you can listen to the show.
Yeah, you mean like iTunes and Stitcher?
Exactly.
And maybe the Google Play Store, I guess, maybe. I haven't looked into it enough. But anyway, yeah, thank you all for tuning in, and until next week.
Peace out.
This show was sponsored in part by Warp Zone, Video Games and Beyond.